Welcome. Thank you for coming this morning and tuning in. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want you to please consider using our website, KalitaUBC.com, for others. And I also want to encourage you to follow and feed our Facebook page, Kalita United Brethren in Christ Church. I have a idea that one of these days I'm going to make videos and put them on there. I figured out the system to do that. Now I just have to come to grips with the reality of looking at the old guy as he does all of that. On a normal Sunday morning, I'd ask you who has a testimony for our service. Today's Easter Sunday, and it's what probably historically will go down as the virtual Easter Sunday. If someone were to ask me or told me 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, that more people would be a part of an Easter Sunday service in the year 2020 than in any other year, I probably would have had my doubts. But because of the virtual world we live in today, the prediction is that this will be the largest Easter Sunday attendance ever. One of the commentators said, simply because it's comfortable. And I thought, yeah, that fits. We're going to walk a little further into the book of Acts this morning, and we're going to look for what is this life in the Spirit that these folks experienced in the book of Acts. So today is April 12th of 2020. I titled it Resurrection Sunday. Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to cover verse 38 through 43. That sounds really good to my ears and to my heart to hear. Open your Bibles with me. Oftentimes, we don't do it like that. So my outline for Resurrection Sunday, number one, God appointed Jesus to defeat the devil's power. Number two, Jesus commanded us to preach to people. Jesus commanded us to preach to people. I believe God called me to do what I'm doing here today. That's a calling. But Jesus commanded us to preach to people. Number three on my outline, God raised Jesus from the dead. Over 100,000 people in the world have died so far from COVID-19. Over 2,000 died in the last 24 hours in the USA. It's important to note that that number is still growing larger each 24 hours. That's important to remember. It's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. How many of those 100,000 do you think would like to see one of those 100,000 come back from the grave? How many of the families of these 100,000 do you think they would like to have that one member come back from the grave? I'd guess probably most of them do. But honestly, not all of them. I bet you there's some families that wouldn't want that. What about the rest of us? Could you use some hope today? Would anyone else like some truth, not just more facts? It's easy to see the death. Let's look and take some time to look for life. How important is Jesus' resurrection to our Christian faith? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the central fact of Christian history. On this one fact, the church is built. Without Jesus' resurrection, there is no Christian church. There is no other religion built on this truth. Only Christianity has a loving God who would become a human, who would literally die for his people and was raised again to life in power and in glory to rule over his church forever. God wrote out the script that I've been calling God's grand drama, and they did this before the creation of the world. When the three of them wrote this, they could have written it in any way they wanted to. The three of them created springtime, and I think they did that to help us, see and understand this new, fresh life coming up and growing into something beautiful in our lives. Just last week, Julie's flower circle outside my office window looked dead. But now it's green, and it's got flowers blooming in it. Beautiful flowers blooming. Last week, we were in Acts chapter 10. We're going there today also. I've never used this as an Easter scripture before, but then again, there's never been an Easter Sunday like this one. So I'm going to read to you from the NIV Reader's Version, and I'm going to try to read Acts 10, 38, all the way to 43. God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went around doing good. He healed all who were under the devil's power. God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by nailing him to a cross. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. God allowed Jesus to be seen, but he wasn't seen by all the people. He was seen only by us. And we are witnesses whom God had already chosen. We ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to people. He told us to give witness that he is the appointed one by God to judge the living and the dead. All the prophets gave witness about him. They say that all who believe in him have their sins forgiven through his name. That's the end of Acts 10. So, Resurrection Sunday. Number one on my outline, God appointed Jesus to defeat the devil's power. God anointed Jesus to defeat the devil's power. See, Jesus' life was a daily battle with the devil. Jesus never backs down from a fight. Every day of Jesus' life was a battle with the devil. Jesus never backs down from a fight. The truth is, we have an illustration today of a group of men and women who each day go to their 12-hour shift and fight an invisible enemy with no retreat and no surrender. Let's stop right here and just lift them up in prayer. My Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for our doctors today, for our nurses today, for our nursing home staff today, and for all those people who are the cleaning staff in those facilities. Father, I want to thank you for the men and women who are EMTs today, who will go into sick homes and retrieve sick individuals and safely deliver them to health care. Father, we want to thank you for the policemen today, for our firefighters, for our National Guard who are called up to be caregivers in this time. Father, I want to thank you for that truck driver that's out there on the interstate bringing the supplies we need to our stores. Father, I want to thank you and lift up the ones who lift all the stock in our shelves and replenish that every night. Father, I want to thank you for the staff that clean those places. Father, I want to thank you for the salespeople who fearlessly stand there and deal with the public. Father, I want to thank you for the pharmacies across our nation And I want to thank you for our nation's manufacturing support people. All those people who are stepping up in this time of crisis. And Father, I want to lift up their families as many of them stay a safe distance from the ones they love to protect them from this dark and terrible unseen enemy. And lastly, Father, we want to grieve with all of those who have lost someone they love. Father, the devastation of losing someone you love and not being able to be there at their side as they leave. Father, we grieve with those who grieve today. Father, we just thank you so much for all of these, and we lift them up to you in love with them and in love with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now back to my sermon. I want you to think about this with me. What if Jesus never experienced fear? What if the Prince of Peace was always in a state of peace? Jesus never got rattled, never got scared, never was afraid. Wouldn't that be a fun life to live? I think I'm telling you the truth that Jesus never went into a fight alone. I think that's true. Jesus never entered into one of these battles with Satan on a daily basis alone. Let me try to illustrate. The design of the United States Army infantry is based on a three-man fire team. You put two of them together with a sergeant to command, and it's called a squad. And there you have the basic building block of our combat structure for all of our Army's infantry. Jesus had planned to leave a three-man team to disciple those who would trust in him for their salvation. His intent was Peter, James, and John, but King Herod cut James' head off, and so that left Peter and John, and Peter is the center speaker of our scripture today. For us to experience this virtual church this morning, there's a three-man team who make that happen. John and Marty and Wilmer, the Spirit guides us in developing this experience. And there's a lot of interesting backstories on how the Spirit moved to make some of these things work the way they did. I wonder if this three-person team was adopted from the pattern we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. In Acts 10, 38, the Bible says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So we have God the Father with his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, this three-person team. I believe these three are inseparable. I have had real smart people teach me that when Jesus was on the cross, God had to separate from him because of sin. Now, they may be correct. Maybe that's true. Maybe God did have to separate from him. Today, I'm thinking that Jesus was deceived by the devil in that moment. When Jesus took Adam's sin onto himself, that was the first time Jesus ever experienced being deceived. I don't think the Father left him. I don't think the Holy Spirit left him. I think Jesus was deceived by the devil, and that's why he said that. So A on my outline, I have the devil's greatest weapons are deception, hate, and fear. A, the devil's greatest weapons are deception, hate, and fear. And it's probably not a surprise that I underline deception, hate, and fear. Which of those three do you experience as the most powerful in your life? Deception, hate, or fear? I think most of the time, deception is the one that gets me. I just get deceived or even distracted. I've met people that I would say that their primary one was hate. And I experience all around me seeing people who are living in fear. Which one of those do you think gets you the most? Be on my outline. Jesus comes with truth, love, and peace. So B is Jesus comes with truth, love, and peace. Now, probably not a surprise that I underline truth, love, and peace. Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus told them the truth about what was about to happen. We read this yesterday in our daily Bible reading pattern. I don't know if you can see it. The disciples did not. The Holy Spirit is leading us today and is showing us the truth. I wonder, can you see it? Jesus foretold his death the second time is the introduction to Mark 9:31-32. The Bible says Jesus was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be handed over to men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will raise from the dead." The disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Now, the next one I want to read is Jesus foretold his death a third time. And this is in the next chapter, Mark 10:32-34. They were on their way up to Jerusalem. Jesus was leading the way, and the disciples were amazed. Those who followed were afraid. Again, Jesus took the 12 to one side. He told them what was going to happen. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said. "The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will sentence him to death. Then they will hand him over to people who are not Jews. The people will make fun of him and spit on him. They will whip him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise from the dead." That's the end of Mark 10. Jesus wanted the disciples to know what was about to happen so that they could stay at peace. Are we at peace with this COVID-19 event? Are we at peace with COVID-19? See on my outline, the devil's greatest power is darkness and death. The devil's greatest power is darkness and death. And I underline the two D words, darkness, death. There were 100,000 deaths recorded as of Saturday. 2,000 people died in the U.S. in just 24 hours. Death and darkness are all around us. If you're honest with yourself and with God, do you see God or the death and darkness the most? Be honest. Do you see God or do you just see the death and the darkness the most? I'd say with the barrage that we get from the world around us, the media, and our family and friends, we focus more on death and darkness than our good Lord and Savior in the midst of this. Jesus' greatest power is light and life. Jesus' greatest power is light and life. The first thing Jesus created was light. Can you see the light in this COVID-19 event? Do you see light in it or just darkness? I heard a news commentator ask recently, "Can we see the light at the end of the tunnel?" The fact is, the one he asked the question said, "We as a nation haven't seen the worst of the event yet. The fact is, we as a nation are still climbing up. one side of the mountain. We as a nation are not to the top of the mountain yet. Once we get to the top, we still need to climb down the other side. Oftentimes we'll see people who were New York City centered, and most of the media comes out of that part of the world, where they say, well, we're flattening out the curve. What they mean is, in the city of New York, we're flattening out the curve. But not in Chicago, not in Detroit, not in New Orleans. We're still ramping up the one side of the mountain. And you got to remember, we still got to go down the other side yet. And it's as much of an effort to go down the other side as it was going up this side. Let me try to illustrate. Being a parent of children is an ongoing process. Julie and I believed it was our right and our responsibility to tell each one of our children when we, as the authority, no longer saw them as a child. In many cultures, they call this a rite of passage. But Julie and I thought the best thing we could do at a certain point in time in the parenting process is tell our daughter, you are no longer a child, you're a young woman. And from this moment forward, we will no longer look at you as a child, talk to you as a child, treat you as a child. We will treat you as a young woman. Now, the way we did that with Monica was unique. There was a time and an event that marked each one of these, and it was something special, something unique, something different. Now, Chris's time and Christopher's event was to backpack to the bottom of the Grand Canyon in Arizona and then back up and out the other side. As one walks the 20 miles down and back, one can see only a small piece of this big hole in the earth. We would sit down with our feet dangling over a cliff that was like 2,000 feet straight down. So you could see 2,000 feet straight down, and you could look up and see probably 3/4 of a mile or more up. But all you could see in that experience as you walk down is a big hole. It's an amazing experience. And the only way one can understand it is to walk and see, to believe how big of a hole in the ground this is. On the way up, I was struggling under the weight of my pack. I had injured my knee on the way down. Chris offered to take part of my load. That was it. That was the moment. That was when a 12-year-old child became a young man. In much the same way, God, the Heavenly Father, asked His Son Jesus to walk to the bottom of human sin, to experience death in their place. When Jesus offered to carry our heavy load of sin to the cross, to go into the pit of death for our redemption, and then to walk out of the tomb, that was it. That's when He became King of Kings and Lord of all. Jesus is alive, and today He offers His resurrection life. A new life. A life like His, with His Holy Spirit living inside us. Honestly, if it were not for the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't know if I could believe this is true. Honestly, if it wasn't from the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't know if I could believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, people just don't do that. Is that true of you too? That without the help of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be able to understand and believe this is true? As you think about that, maybe a good question for us to use when we are sharing this truth of the resurrection with someone is to ask them, would you be willing to just ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you understand this truth? So rather than try to explain something to them that's beyond explanation, or to give them reasons why they should believe it, maybe the best question when you're trying to share the resurrection of Christ would be to just say, would you be willing to just ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you understand this? There are many wonders because of what we believe in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too can have hope for that to be our experience too. Because we believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we can believe that we also could experience life after this death. The resurrection helps us to find a new and different meaning to the tragedies we experience in this life. No matter what happens, we can have hope for the future. Christians can look very different from one another. We can have very different views on lifestyles or politics, even theology. But the one central belief that unites and inspires all true believers in Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is here among us alive today. So Resurrection Sunday, my point one was God anointed Jesus to defeat the devil's power. Point number two, Jesus commanded us to preach to people. What does that mean? Jesus commanded us to tell people truth. Tell people truth. A on my outline, Jesus' life is the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus' life is the Holy Spirit and power. So I underlined Holy Spirit, power. Jesus' life is spirit. Think about that. Jesus' life is spirit. When we or one is born again, one spirit is changed from a spirit related to death to a spirit related and into life. We need to be born into God's spirit. We do this by putting our faith in Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection life and the Holy Spirit are creating new lives. God's mighty power is at work in our lives in the world today. Because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we can look forward to his redemption of our world. What things has Jesus told us that will happen but have not happened yet? When one is born again, one is sealed with God's Holy Spirit. Has this happened to you? Have you been born again, received his Spirit, and been sealed by his Holy Spirit? Jesus' life is the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus promised us his power. Has this happened to you? As for me, not yet. I have not yet experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit with the kind of power that the disciples and these people in Acts 10 will. Not yet. Do you remember Jesus saying, I'm coming back soon? The signs of his return, according to the book of Revelations and according to the book of John, will look a lot like the pandemic we're living in today. When Jesus told us what it was going to look like, it looks like much what we see today. Worldwide disaster. The first time I came, Jesus said, it is to save the world. The second time I come, it will be to judge this world. Remember, be ready for me. So the first time Jesus came was to save, and that's what we're talking about on Easter Sunday. The second time he comes, on Judgment Day, that will be to judge the world. And he warned people to be ready for him. Be on my outline. All who believe in Jesus have their sins forgiven through his name. All who believe in Jesus have their sins forgiven through his name. I underline the word believe, sins forgiven. Have you entered into this process? COVID-19 is a process. Can you see it is not an event? God's illustration may very well be, I will stop all their silly events that distract them from me. Think about that. Have you noticed this truth? All our silly events have ended. All the silly things we spend time with this time of year, baseball. Last month, it would have been March Madness. Their golf tournament should have started today. There are thousands of silly events that have not happened because of COVID-19. What if God's illustration is, I'll stop all their silly events that distract them from me? A process, by its definition, does not have an end. Think about that. A process, by its own definition, doesn't have an end. So all who believe in Jesus have their sins forgiven through his name is a process. It's a process of believing, and it's a process of sinning. So you've got the positive believing and the negative sinning in this process. We're in a process of sinning each day. Do you know this is true in your life? Could you honestly say, oh yeah, I sin? So then we need to be in the process of confessing these sins and thanking Jesus for his forgiveness. This process is not a one and done, like COVID-19. This thing is not going to go away. It's going to be an ongoing process for the rest of the time we're alive. We call this confession and thanking Jesus for his forgiveness, we call this repentance. So look at it this way. Redemption is an event. Redemption is an event. That is something Jesus did. He redeemed. Repentance is a process. It's a process. Resurrection is an event. There is a day, there is a morning, a Sunday sunrise when that event took place. But the relationship that comes from that is a process. Relationship is not an event. It's a process. Death is an event. They can put the day on your tombstone. But life is a process. Jesus is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. So see on my outline, Jesus is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And I underline the word judge. Jesus was like no other human. Jesus was unlike other humans in this way. Jesus never looked at a person and judged them by what he saw. Think about that. Jesus is unlike any other human. Jesus never looked at a person and judged them by what they saw. Did you ever wonder why prostitutes and tax collectors were attracted to Jesus? It's because Jesus could look at a prostitute, for example, Mary Magdalene, who had been with multiple men in adulterous relationships, but not judge her for what was going on in her life. Jesus did not judge them because of their sin patterns. The same way with the crooked tax collectors. Jesus didn't judge them for their sins of robbery and greed. He just looked at them as a person. This too is a component of his Father's process. The Father had Jesus go through this process so that he could understand how to be a right and righteous judge. The event of Jesus' resurrection has appointed Jesus as the authority to judge all humankind. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that gave him the authority to judge all humankind. One will be judged first by their family relationship. So first and foremost, one is judged by their family relationship. Is one in the family line of Adam and his Lord Satan? Is one in the family line of Adam and his Lord Satan? Is one in the family line of Eve and her Lord Jesus? This will divide all humans into two separate groups. I have this present thought that Eve was the first human ever saved by Jesus Christ's life. I believe when God came to Eve and said, "Honey, what have you done?" And she said, "Sir, I was deceived by the serpent." And God comes back to her and said, "Honey, one of your children will be the one who is the Redeemer." I believe in her desperate need at that moment, she looked forward to her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, born of a Virgin Mary, as the Savior of the world and was the first human Jesus ever saved. I can't prove it, but when we get to heaven, you can either say, "Wilmer, you were right," or, "Man, you were way off on that one." Within these two groups, one is then judged and will receive punishment for their life actions, or one is judged and will receive rewards for their life actions. So your first judgment is your family line. Are you still in Adam related in death to Satan, or have you crossed over into the son of Eve, the son of Mary, the Son of God, and entered into life? The second thing is what you've done in your life. You will receive different levels of punishment in hell, or will receive different levels of reward in your life after based on your actions now. And Jesus would often use money as his illustration for that. So, this judgment is the beginning of an eternal process. One group goes to eternal suffering. One group goes to eternal joy. Today is a great day to make choices that will have eternal effects. The choices you make today could have eternal effects. In your spiritual relationship, in your physical relationships with other humans, in your relationship to your finances, in your relationship to your material possessions, your relationship to everything in this life, the choices you make will have either regret or reward in the life after this. So, point number one on my outline: God anointed Jesus to defeat the devil's power. Point number two, Jesus commanded us, you and I, to preach to people. And point number three, God raised Jesus from the dead. The Jews in Jerusalem killed Jesus by nailing him to the cross. I probably should have wrote that, murdered Jesus by nailing him to the cross. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. God anointed Jesus to go around doing good. Jesus can heal all who are under the devil's power, then and now. Think about it. God is with us. God is for us. God desires us to choose well. Jesus wants to do good today. Jesus wants to heal you from the power of Satan in relationship to sin and lead you into repentance. Always remember, God's for us, not against us. God really desires that you will choose well. So, how might Jesus want us to respond to his Holy Spirit here today? Maybe it's us speaking the truth in love to people. That would be point number two, preaching. Not preaching at them, but speaking with them and sharing the truth. Not trying to convince them of anything you believe or others have told you, but sharing the truth with them because of love. A on my outline. Is God allowing COVID-19 to inspire his church to life? A. Is God allowing COVID-19 to inspire his church to life? The words I underlined are inspire and life. Does it seem to be true that the church has been sleeping comfortably for years? Maybe Jesus wants us to respond to his Holy Spirit in humility today. Does Jesus want us, you and I, to respond to his Holy Spirit in humility today? Would you be willing to confess our deep need of God in this big mess? Would you be willing to confess that? Lord, we need you desperately. We cannot work our way out of this by ourselves. You see, pride is a big problem. Jesus was the most humble man who ever walked this earth. Moses comes in second. Anyone want to try to place in this contest? The contest would be, who is the most humble? And when you start thinking you are, then you realize how big of a problem pride is. If you consistently have the thought pattern, I'm right, probably pride is a big problem, and this may be a good place for you to start with the Holy Spirit today. Be on the outline. Is God calling his church to rise up in repentance and then prayer? B. Is God calling his church, capital C, to rise up in repentance, and then prayer. So I underline the two R words, rise and repentance. See, there's a story in the Bible where Jonah went to Nineveh and preached repentance to the people. And from the top down, all the people rose up, put on sackcloth and ashes, and humbled themselves before God. So from the highest of all authorities to the lowest of all in the society, the homeless, all of them in Nineveh humbled themselves. The king got up out of his throne, took off his royal robes, and put on junk clothes and put ashes on himself to symbolize his humility before God. When God saw that, he relented the judgment that he had coming on them. See on my outline, is God asking you to tell the good news of his love and gospel to someone? C, is God asking you to tell the good news of his love and gospel to someone? So I have three words I underline: tell, love, gospel. One must admit that this is a time that we can do this remotely. In this social distancing structure, we can tell people about God's love and his gospel remotely. To be honest with ourselves, it's hard to do this person to person with some people. One must admit that in this time of social distancing, it's socially acceptable to do this remotely. Think about it. You don't have to do it face to face because you can't be face to face. In this limited time, we can share the truth remotely. Here's a fact. Jesus is courageous. Will you let him and that personality live in you and through you? Jesus is courageous. Will you let him and that personality live in and through you? Will you share your love of Jesus with someone this week? Who is this one? Who is the one the Spirit is laying on you to change this week? Our Jewish friends celebrating Passover have an idea that if you change one person's life, you change the whole world. Think about it. Who is the one person? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for writing down the testimony of your Bible, the 66 books by multitudes of authors who, inspired by your Holy Spirit, penned the truth accurately for us. Today, Father, we gather around this reality that your Son Jesus died on a cross. Your Son Jesus, 3 days later, rose from the dead. Your Son Jesus, right now, is sitting at your right hand, interceding on our behalf. We are so thankful that you did not leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit to minister to us now. And we don't have to be face to face. Your Spirit can work in and through the mediums that are available to us today in this virtual reality. Father, I don't know exactly what you're up to, but it's something big. Lord Jesus, I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I want to be right behind you, right at your side as this happens. And I want to be one of the ones whose Holy Spirit shows out, that your Spirit would show through. And I don't want this just for me. I want this for everyone who's listening, that their heart would be entangled with you in such a way that your church would show up big in this time of trouble. We ask it in the power and the wonder of the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world.
Bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead.